CBUFM Vancouver.
That is not bugle call rag, that is bugle call blues, and that is played by the Friar Society Orchestra, and the gentleman in that band composed his little number and called it bugle call blues. Only later it became bugle call rag, and this is 1921, the original first recording.
And that man with the details at his tongue tip is named Ed Crommelin. He's another of our Vancouver collectors. This is Bob Kerr presenting the Record Collector's Show, and Ed's been on with us before. He came to Canada 14 years ago, but began collecting records in Holland in around 1928, and he's had an awful lot of experience with live jazz music, and he's a great collector of jazz records. Now, with that out of the way, let's go on, Ed. What have you got for us?
The next recording is 1927, recorded on April the 27th, and it is by Paul Whiteman's orchestra. It's called I'm Coming Virginia. The important part of this particular recording is that Red Nichols and his Five Pennies at that time just became the rage of all record buyers and collectors, and as it was an important little hot unit, Whiteman, with all his money backing and contacts, was out to bring his orchestra right to the top, and he thought this was a good thing. I'll buy this whole group en masse and integrate this into my big orchestra. Now, I would say on this particular recording all credit goes to the arranger, because here he was on his hands, a little hot group with an enormous big band with a forest of violins, and then you try to match those.
It speaks of a certain blindness in his ears.
Yes, but I tell you, he did wonderful, and I think in this I'm Coming Virginia you will agree that everybody gets his due, the orchestra as such, the little hot group as such. And for some people that may be interested to know, it's one of the very first Paul Whiteman Rhythm Boys recordings too. And Bing Crosby sings the whole chorus himself and does a good job on it, although it is an early recording, 1927. I'm Coming Virginia.
I'm coming, Virginia, I'm coming to stay. Don't hold it against me for running away. I've tried to forget you, but I found I'm all wrong. Need your bright southern moon once more, I'll croon that dear old mammy tune. And if I can win ya, I'll never more roam. I'm coming, Virginia, my Dixieland home. Thank you.
I never thought I'd ever hear anyone seriously say "hacha" again in my life, and that was on that record. Listen, Ed, you better identify that, because to me it's a sort of a concerto for Red Nichols and the Paul Whiteman Orchestra. So you better put it the right way.
As you just mentioned to me, it sounds like Red Nichols and his five pet, and he's sitting in the middle, and the whole band around it, and it's quite true. It sounds like that. The violin player, by the way, who does a wonderful job in that thing, is Matty Malnach, not Joe Venuti. Joe Venuti hadn't joined the band yet, but the guitar player is Eddie Lime.
So Malnach still has a band, hasn't he?
Yes, he's still active, and he was over in Europe, and I met him when he was in London playing with several of the orchestras in the London area, and he was quite a man. He played good violin, nice chap to know, and a very interesting, intelligent man.
He spent a lot of time in Hollywood, did he not? Since the war?
Yes, that is true. I think he was one of those pickup men that made big money by being available, hanging around the studios, and any film that needed music, they were around.
Mm. Now, what do we do next, Mr. Crumlin?
Next recording is something special. I don't think too many people around this part of the world will have this recording, because it's made in England, and is quite rare, because only one was made, just one, at that particular time. It is by Fred Elizalde and his muse. Now, Fred Elizalde was a very good musician from Spain, from Madrid. Classical musician, piano player, and he studied later with great musicians and composed a lot. And now, at the moment, I understand he is the regular conductor of the symphony orchestra in Madrid.
That's where I've run into his name. Yes, playing zarzuelas.
That's
that
correct.
Sort of thing, yes.
Now, Fred, as a young boy, went to the United States and got his education there. And as he was young, he was interested in jazz. He couldn't help it. So who was there at that time on the top of the list of white bands making good jazz music was the California Ramblers. And Fred sat in with that band many a night, you know. Instead of studying, he sat there. Now, when he went over to England, his dad was very, very well-to-do. In fact, he was the owner of the Hispano Suiza factory of beautiful cars. The Hispano Suiza is the Cadillac or Lincoln of Europe, except that they are twice as expensive.
Mm.
Now, this gentleman then went to Cambridge University. It was only 3 months that he was enlisted in the university, and he started already a band. And that is the Fred Elizalde and his Cambridge undergraduate band, and I've got the two recordings he made. Terribly music, because Fred stands shoulder and head above the rest, and the rest is just poor musicians, but it's interesting to know.
What year is this?
That was in 26. Now, in 29, he made this particular recording, because he brought over from the United States the best man of the California Ramblers. These boys, you couldn't pay him, really, because they were the tops. But they wanted a big vacation. They said, okay, Fred, we know you from old times. We'll do it for you. So they came over, and they played in the Savoy Hotel in London, England. And they made several recordings for the English Brunswick, and they're very good music, but terribly poor recorded, so poor that you would swear that the mic was open only in the studio next door. Mm-hmm. But they made only this one recording for English Parlophone, and it's a good recording, clean, and it was just before the split up of the band, and they play Nobody's Sweetheart. Now what I want you to listen to is how the band opens up with Fred playing his piano solo and thereafter Adrian Rollini. Now Adrian Rollini is the only man that ever played bass sax with swing idiom. I don't know anybody else that ever played bass saxophone as he did, and he did, he was the
What's
man.
What's a bass saxophone?
it's a saxophone so big that it needed a stand. You couldn't lift the thing, so it stood on a stand, and then you played it. Now, this Adrian Rollini, he plays it, and thereafter the band just walks in. It's collective improvisation, and it's just like they all walk in and enter the recording. Now, to me, this is just about the finest clean-cut jazz playing that I've got on any recording. Just listen to it.
A better record than that in your whole collection, I'm quite sure. Fred Elizalde and his music on an English Parlophone from 1929. If we had time, I'd make you play it for us again. And we haven't got too much time. We have so many records in front of us. What's the next one?
It's a Ted Lewis and his band recording. Now, I know a lot of people will throw up their hands right now and say, Ted Lewis from all people. I know, but this is a Ted Lewis recording with Ted Lewis minus his clarinet. Hooray. He is only doing a bit of singing, but the tune is Lonesome Road, and this is a musical illustration of a Negro worship service over the radio in the late 20s. Very interesting, and excellent trumpet playing by Muggsy Spanier. Muggsy plays the role of Gabriel's horn. ¶¶
the congregation please be seated? And the first batters take the front row. And the old timers, away back, away back, and sit down. Look way, way up, brothers and sisters, and seek your Maker. Before Gabriel blows his horn. Brothers and sisters who are listening to me over radio here this evening, if you can come to our little meeting, send in your contribution. Bless you, sister. Hallelujah. Lord, the congregation please rise and sing the last stanza all together. Will now come to a discontinuation. I'll be on the front door going out.
I must use that phrase to end the program sometime. This will come to a discontinuation. Ted Lewis in 1930. That was a real service, was it?
That's an imitation of what that...
But not a satire.
Not a satire. No. It's too musical for that, I think.
Very enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. The next recording is a mellotone recording from 1931. That make was very poor in its recording, really. It was a cheap Brunswick, and the sound was quite often cheap, too. But I did notice that lately, since Jack Teagarden passed away, there is a great interest in Jack Teagarden and what he did throughout the years. And this is a recording possibly overlooked by many a collector. That likes Jack Teagarden because the name of the orchestra is just the New Orleans Ramblers, but it's all Jack Teagarden and Jimmy Dorsey. It's called That's the Kind of Gal for Me.
Mean a thing at all, as long as she doesn't stall. That's the kind of gal for me. Whenever I'm feeling blue and craving a thrill or two, if she knows just what to do, that's the kind of gal for me. I don't have to mention I demand attention. There'll be no dissension if I get my share of loving. Her English may not be good, as long as she's understood. and does all the things she should. That's the kind of gal for me.
Jack Teagarden, the date 1931. I'm particularly interested in your next recording, Ed.
Yeah, Bob, this is Django Reinhardt. Now, this is the recording that really made Django Reinhardt to be accepted by the recording industry as an artist. My friend Charles Delaunay, in the summer of 1933, was walking up in Montmartre in Paris and heard out of an open window, out of an attic, in a very, very poor district, some terrific guitar playing. And he looked at a friend of his and said, let's investigate this. And they stumbled up the dark steps. Finally, they landed up behind the door. They knew there was the guitar player. And they opened the door and still didn't see anything because it was pitch dark, full of smoke. And here sat a couple of gypsies just strumming guitars, and one of them just played music that they had never heard before. And so he asked them, are you interested to be recorded? Because this sounds very good. Now, these gypsies, they are not talkative types. They said, oh, okay, nothing more. So he ran down the stairs and phoned me up. I happened to be in Paris at that time. He said, let's go and get a portable recording apparatus and make a recording of this and see what we can do about it. So we got this portable up the stairs and set it up in this dark attic enclosure, and made the following recording. I'm confessing that I love you, and after you've gone. Now, I picked I'm confessing that I love you. Now, this is Django Reinhardt's very first recording with his brother and his cousins, and we hadn't found Stefan Grappelli yet. So, but this is the beginning of the Hot Club de France quintet. So here we are, a private recording, so don't blame me for poor recording. This is the best we could do with the equipment. This was then Django's very, very first recording, privately made, and with that we went to Brunswick and sold the act, if you want to put it that way. They told us because of Joe Venuti, Eddie Lang's great name in the jazz world, find a guitar player, just like that. So we knew where to go because there was one violin player that was real good, that was Stefan Grappelli, and we knew because he was sitting in little jam sessions on the left bank there. In Paris, and we quickly found him and got him in, and these two just matched.
I think it's wonderful that you were in all these early things that are so important to us now.
Now, the next recording is Django again. It's the only solo recording he ever made commercially. It's called Perfume, but the interesting part, as far as I'm concerned, is that I brought him over to Amsterdam in 1936, and on a very hot summer day, he was lying on his bed, and he suddenly said to me, he said, Dad, I reached for my guitar, will you? There is a melody coming to me all the time. And I gave his guitar, and without even getting up, you know how difficult the guitar playing is anyhow, and here he did it, lying down. And he started playing, and what did he play? Perfume. And this is what came out of it later, and he recorded, he elaborated on it. This is what he played for me at that afternoon in the Amsterdam hotel. Perfume.
With Django Reinhardt, 1937, we conclude another record collector show, and our guest once again has been Ed Crommelin, whom we must have on soon again. There's so much he's got for us. And I'll be back with you next week at the same time with another record collector show, and this is Bob Kerr speaking. Next week, we welcome back an old friend, Tom Hood. Tom's going to play a selection of light music recorded by some of this century's great operatic stars. The Record Collector is produced in Vancouver by Bill Terry.
This is the CBC FM network.